hope you were thinking about those words, "By his own hand he leadeth me." What a good song. And so good. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. We finished up a survey of the Gospels the last 4 weeks, and I really enjoyed teaching those. Hope you got some good things from them. And so I'm going to hope that this thing stays up here, because it's not right anymore, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to talk tonight. I don't know if I'll finish this message. We might make it go into next Thursday, depending on how the Lord leads and how it goes. But I'm going to talk about having a sober mind, a sober mind. I've talked about these type of subjects before, and I want to go a little different direction on this and getting into our minds and having a sober mind. I've said before, the battle in America is the mental battle. It's the battle of the mind. It's a battle for the minds of humans. We have a struggle in America that people don't struggle in the same way around the world. They have battles, and everybody is tempted, you know, not above which we are able and everything. Satan doesn't tempt us with witch doctors and he's gonna kill us. You know, the devil the you know, whoever's gonna kill us for being a Christian or we're gonna lose our job. That's not what we battle with as Christians. We battle with our minds and what we think, and you talk to an American pastor. When I'm talking to an American pastor, I'm trying to get him to think either you're not so incredible that God's lucky to have you, or you're not so pathetic that God can never use you, because the devil usually takes an American one of those two ways. And when I'm talking to a pastor in a foreign country, it's like, hey, keep on going. I know you don't have a building, and I know you're struggling to feed your family. But emotionally, they believe God can use them and that they're not wonderful and they're just a sinner saved by grace and glad to be saved. We fight with our minds in America. America consumes more antidepressants than the rest of the world, the whole rest of the world, every other country. I mean, we're just, our mob. And by the way, Seattle is the number one city in America for antidepressants. And that's where it is. So I want to talk about having a sober mind. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 1, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." So there's a way of thinking. You're supposed to choose to arm yourselves with a way of thinking. Same thing in Philippians 2. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." You're commanded to think certain ways. In this verse, you're commanded to think with a preparation for suffering. Okay? "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, prepared for suffering. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when he walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." Now notice it mentions this, because we're in a few passages where it talks about alcohol and a sober mind, and that's part of the deal. But not always, definitely not always. "Whereby they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account of him that is ready to judge in the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So you're supposed to have a certain mindset, and you're supposed to be sober. Chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant." Now notice, both verses got an awareness with sobriety. Okay, verse 7, it says, therefore be sober and watch. Watch was a term for guarding and paying attention and watching, and you're on the wall watching for enemies to come. And then 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So we're supposed to have these minds that are alert, that are watching, that are thinking clearly, that are alert to see the enemy coming, to see the battles. You are not supposed to have this mind that just in life, that's your mind is this. You have an enemy constantly trying to kill you. Okay? You're sober. And so we need to have a sober mind. Let's pray and we'll talk about that. And Lord, we certainly need you and we need your spirit, Lord. I know that the devil uses this and he uses it around the world. Lord, we all have attacks of all types, but Lord, we need this. And I pray that we'd understand your truth. And I pray we would get as far as you want to say exactly what you want said. And Lord, we use a lot of your word tonight. And I pray you'd please help it to be clear and help us to know personally what we ought to do. And I pray that you'd give us the grace that would make it so that we can do what sometimes we don't think we can do, but we know we need to do. Please help us and fill us with thy spirit and speak to hearts and help us to please just do your will with this message. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not preaching an alcohol tonight. I could. I marvel. Christians debate that it's okay to drink. It's amazing. Proverbs 22. Wine is a 22:1. I think it is. 21. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 22:31. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it moves itself aright, when it moves itself in the cup, when it's fermented. It's basically what it's saying there. When at the end it biteth like a serpent and singeth like an adder. And all the warnings in the Bible, the command of God, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit. And they say, well, it says don't be drunk. It doesn't say don't drink. Okay, that's true. It just says it's a mocker, and if you're deceived by it, you're not wise. And it says don't look on it. Okay, it's a lot of warnings. Okay, and you know what? Somebody could assure me that there's no bullet in that chamber, and I could sit here and go click, click, there's no bullet, click, 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 all day long. Okay, I don't touch it. If you can drink it without looking at it, by the way, because it says don't look at it, and you'll never get drunk, and you'll keep a sober mind, and you're not deceived by it, you're pushing it. You got a lot of scriptures warning you. And you're the guy saying, you know what? I know that bridge is broken. I know it can't hold a car. I know there's all these warnings. Bridge will collapse if anybody goes on it. But you know what? It's not a command not to drive in that bridge. It just warns me. Okay. Go ahead and drive in the bridge if you want. But I'm not talking about alcohol tonight. A little bit, I am. And but that's not what I'm talking about. It says sober mind. The reason drunkenness is sin, and it says be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit, is because you're not sober when you're drunk. And you're always supposed to be sober. But I'm not talking about that. We're talking about, and the reference is sometimes, okay, so there's three different ways it talks about a sober, being sober in the Bible. The first way is simply in drunkenness. And we just read a little bit here in 1 Peter, but let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Jesus turned water into wine. Six words in the English for one thing in Greek. It doesn't necessarily mean alcoholic. Look up new wine. And just learn the Bible and don't just do what you want to do. Think and be wise. So first of all, sometimes not being sober is referring to the state of drunkenness. And that's pretty obvious. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. There it is. Be alert, watching and sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of faith. So there's twice sobriety wrapped in the middle of drunkenness. And the word here, the Greek word for sober here is napho. That word, literally definition of that word in the Greek, is abstain from wine. That's what it means. That's the exact definition. Keep sober by implication to be discreet. So many times when it's talking about sobriety, it's saying abstaining from wine. And that's clear, and so this is one reference to that, and there's other ones, and so that's the first sober. First sober in the Bible is just not being drunk, okay? Pretty simple, and Ephesians 5:18 says that, be not drunk with wine. It's a command of God, and these verses are good verses for that also. Number two, sometimes it's referring to having a sound mind. Let's go to 1 Timothy, just a little forward from here. Again, we're going to do a lot of verses, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Talk about a pastor here. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. You notice the word there before sober? Vigilant. There it is again. Watching, vigilant, All these words. So when you find the word sober, you usually find a word about alertness near it. Okay? Not always, but certainly. This word is a different word. Sophrein is a Greek word. It means safe in mind, self-controlled. Okay, so your mind is self-controlled. It is not being controlled by something else. It is your mind is completely under control. Your mind is safe and it's alert. And so that we have another word for sober mind, and it means you're self-controlled. Your mind is under control. The next one, which is very common, is a word that means alert and guarded. It's a different Greek word. In this 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, it's a different Greek word. Even so must their wives be graves, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. This means alert and guarded. You're paying close attention. Then we go forward to Timothy, just a couple books forward there. To Titus chapter 2 and verse 2. That the aged men be sober and grave and all those things. And then chapter 1, verse 8, Titus chapter 1 and verse 8. A lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. So here's somebody whose mind is alert and guarded. They are carefully guarding their mind. Their mind is under control. Their mind is guarded. Their mind is they're like a person who's guarding a bodyguard, but they're guarding their mind. Okay, and that's the third one. So sometimes it's not being drunk. Sometimes it's being of a mind that's sound and not messed up, self-control. And sometimes being alert and guarded. And those are the three different words we see for sober. But clearly, in the Bible, we're commanded to have sober minds. Okay, let me give you a bunch of verses right in this. I picked this area because it's easy. Okay, let's go back to, we're going to be right here on this page, so if you keep your finger there, but let's go back to 1 Timothy. And we're just going to be a bunch of verses, just command us and all kinds of people to be sober. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First of all, leaders are commanded to be sober. 1 Timothy 3, 2. A bishop that is blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober. Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 31, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, to drink wine. Leaders are commanded to be sober-minded, especially. And we see that. And chapter 2, and let's see. Let me get my other verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 we just read, and then verse 11. Even so must their wives, and this is a deacon's wife, be grave, not slanderous, sober. So we see different leaders, three different leaders. Kings, pastors, and deacon's wives are all commanded to be sober. By the way, a deacon says not a drinker much wine. So we see these things. And so then we see aged men, Titus. So we see leaders are supposed to be sober. Aged men are supposed to be sober. Titus chapter 2, verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, of sound mind. And so we see that. Women are supposed to be sober. Chapter 2, verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their wives. So the older women are supposed to teach the younger women to be sober. Young men are supposed to be sober. Verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Boy, a lot of people here. And then, of course, we read earlier 1 Peter 5, 8, talking to all believers, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, your mind is supposed to be alert, guarded, and under control. Okay, that's what we've seen over and over and over. My mind is supposed to be this machine that is watched, that is guarded, that is protected, that is controlling what it thinks about, that has all these things. We're clearly commanded. Now, three thoughts on that. I just want to do three thoughts. Number one, it is important what you think about. Okay, it's important what you think about. You say, it's my actions that matter. Biblically, it's your thoughts and your action. Okay? Jesus said in Matthew 5, 28, whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. You see that it's not just what you do. It's adultery if you look with lust. Okay? Let's go back to Genesis. I'm not going to be in the Old Testament a lot today, but go to Genesis chapter 6. Because God was concerned about thoughts in the Bible and what you think about. Genesis chapter 8, And verse 21, where Noah saves the world, it says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, 'I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore any living thing.'" He says, "I know they're evil thoughts." Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 9 says, "The thought of foolishness is sin." Proverbs 24, 9. Proverbs also says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So what you think about, and there's many other verses on this, God knows our thoughts and he cares about what we think about. It's part of the Bible. Let's look at that. Psalm 139. "So the Lord knows your thoughts." Psalm 139. "He knows my thoughts." Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." Okay? And so, it is important what we think about. Now, this is really, 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 really important. Now, I want to take my microphone out and walk out, but I'm going to anyway. You have to approach this. There's two ways to approach this. You can approach this as a secular mind. The secular mind assumes the goodness of man. I want you to understand the biblical mind assumes the depravity of man. Okay? Paul said, "I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Okay? And so you assume your mind is messed up. Let me show you some real clean verses, important verses. Romans chapter 8. "You must assume that your mind, left to itself and uncontrolled, is not going to do you any favors." As a matter of fact, your mind, left to itself, goes towards corruption. Okay? That's why we have to be sober, under control. Remember, in the Bible, sober means under control more than anything else. Alert and controlled. Okay? Romans chapter 8. "Assume the depravity of the mind, and it'll help you a whole bunch." Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 5. It says, "For they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, fleshly, minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Remember, the carnal mind is natural. That's your fleshly, normal mind. Verse 7, "Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." That's a depraved mind that naturally goes toward bad things. The Bible also says your mind can be corrupted. Let me go back to Romans 1. Your mind can be ruined, so it becomes corrupted. 1 Timothy 6:5 says men of corrupt minds. 2 Timothy 3:8 also says men of corrupt minds. Your mind can be corrupted. Romans chapter 1 verse 28, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," their mind, "God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." I want to say something that's tragic. I don't like to say this, but I believe it's true. I believe that it's a society we live in. I believe, and I don't think anybody who knows the Bible would disagree with me on this, that the overwhelming majority of Americans, including Christians, their minds are corrupt. I want to say it's through television. Their mind is so full of garbage. Evil things, evil thoughts, evil words, evil garbage, corrupted. Listen, an unsaved man 150 years ago would not see in his lifetime what you will see in a week. Okay? An unsaved man would not see a naked woman beside his wife. Anywhere. Look, her calves are exposed. Okay? Would to God that was still the worry we had. Okay? It's a sad thing, but many people need to say, my mind's corrupt. I have bad things going on in my mind. And I'm not just talking about dirty thoughts, as we would call them. I'm talking about suicidal thoughts. I'm talking about depression thoughts. I'm talking about bitterness thoughts. I'm talking about you can't quit hating that person. You can't get that bitterness out of your... There's a whole bunch of thoughts. I think most of our minds are corrupt because we let a whole bunch of garbage in. Corrupt minds. I'm going to get one amen before this message is over, very quietly. And we have corrupt minds. And there's no fix. I just want you to feel bad. And but I'm kidding. And so we can get corrupt minds. The carnal mind, assume your mind. Listen, okay. Somebody goes and does you evil. Your brother rips off your inheritance when your parents die. What does your mind naturally do? You know what? I love my brother. You know what? I'm just going to forgive him. This is just so natural and easy. Brother, I forgive you. Is that what your mind naturally does? Somebody cuts you off on the highway, you say, Lord, bless them and give them a great day. Just help them get home faster. And no, you do like I do. You go in front of them and go drive real slow. And but why? Because we have corrupt mind and we dwell on it. And then all of a sudden, somebody does you wrong. Somebody at work is gossiping about you. You know, you don't say, you know what, Lord, thank you. Boy, I've been criticized and I'm going to learn patience. What an opportunity. Is that what naturally has to do, or is that what you have to make yourself do? You know what we naturally do? Stew. Oh, you know what I'm going to say to them? I got this. I'm going to say this and this and this. I'm going to key their car. Your mind just starts going. If you let it. Because we have depraved minds. Our minds don't naturally always do right. And so we've got to realize that. Okay, that is important what we think about. Number two, it's about your imaginations. Remember we read in Genesis 8:21? The imaginations of their hearts were only evil continually. We're in Romans 1, let's look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Remember, notice their heart became darkened because their imaginations were bad. Okay? It's about imaginations. I have some good verses that I want to be right here, but we'll do it a little bit later. So to think right, you should guard your mind gates. You basically have two mind gates. It's called your eyes. It's called your ears. You have to guard those. I will set, Psalm 101, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now we've lowered that standard a whole bunch. Say, well, it's not as bad as other people watch. No wicked thing. Why? Because you now have what you see, you now have an image. We're going to read in a minute, casting down imaginations. You got to guard your eyes. Right, let's look at Matthew chapter 6. You have to not get bad imaginations. People who corrupt their minds through bad things, bad entertainment, bad things, they, by the way, hearing a bunch of garbage, gossip and criticism and negative and... And guess what? You pretty soon have got a corrupt mind. And your mind is now a gossipy, critical mind. You always find the negative in people. You always say, yeah, well, they probably don't mean it. They're probably talking about me. They just think they're so good. You ever meet people, everything that revolves around, everybody is doing something secretly, evilly against them. Why? Their mind's corrupted. Because they've let garbage, so much garbage in. And everybody really, I shouldn't laugh, but when people think I mean something else, I told you 1,000 times, I just laugh. Your mind, stop talking to your mind. What do you mean? I said, how are you doing? What do you mean by that? How are you doing? I mean, come on, it's not complicated. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? Your mind's corrupted. You're thinking weird. You think there's secret meanings. We got a secret. When you walked out of church for a second there, you went outside during greeting time. We all got together. We tapped our secret Masonic rings together. And we made a plan. When you come back in, we talked about you. And we're all looking at you. And there she's back in. Hello, how are you, brother? You're weird. Okay, that's not what we're doing. Okay, everybody doesn't mean something. Your mind gets corrupt. Okay? You get suspicious. You get, you know. What's a nice word for loony? It's about imaginations, and you do that. Matthew chapter 6, you got to guard your eyes. You got to guard your ears. You got to guard these things. Matthew 6 and verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You are completely full of light if your eyes are right. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore that which is light be in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? By the way, you know what the context of that is? Money. That's the context of that verse. You get an evil eye about money, it corrupts you completely, your whole body, everything about you. And so you got to guard these things because imaginations. Once you have the imaginations, it's in your mind. And now you'll have a hard time getting imaginations out of your mind once you got them. It's corrupted your mind. Okay. So imagine this. You've got a giant pink elephant with white wings and a giant horn sticking out that curls at the end. Okay? Got that in your mind? You now have an imagination of that. Now it's there. If I wouldn't have put that in your mind, you'd never have that in your mind. Okay? So, you must be careful who is doing that to you. Nobody just follow that because that can change your life. Who is putting images, I just put one with words in your ears. Who is putting images with words and with your eyes into your mind? It can be what you read. It can be what you see. It can be what you hear. But your mind gets corrupt when you do not control the imaginations. You just got a picture of something you would have never pictured, except for strange people, and you would never pictured because in your ear gate came an imagination. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you read. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So you've got to control that. Because it's all about your imaginations. Because God says the imaginations of man's heart was only evil continually. I'm going to destroy the world for that. That's what he said. Number three. It's about how you think. I want to focus on that. It's the word how. It's not what you think about necessarily. Now, the imaginations are important. What you think about is important. But I want to, and this is all of that was to get to this. All of that was important, and all of it's good Bible doctrine. It's all there in the Word. But I want to say this one. There is a way of thinking that is important is what you think about. Because how you think determines what you think about. There's a way of thinking that's wrong that'll ruin your life. There's a way of thinking that's right that'll bless you. It's how you think. 1 Peter, let's go there. Got several verses here. I want to show you, because you got to think right. And you might see, this is what's been happening to me. Because it's not just what you say, okay, I won't look at evil pornography and wicked, you know, people slashing each other on TV and, you know, on movie. I won't watch that stuff. But it's not just bad, dirty images. It is also a way of thinking. There are people who watch and read and listen to clean things, but they have a way of thinking that's corrupted. They don't have the bad imagination. They just have a bad way of thinking. And this is what I need to preach a whole sermon on. We'll just see where we get today. 1 Peter 5. let's see. This is not the verse I want. We'll read it. 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8. Casting all your care upon... They have all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, let me go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's so many verses. Don't know if we're going to get to them all. 2 Timothy chapter 1. But God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, now go to Philippians. I'm looking for Philippians earlier. I wrote it down wrong. Philippians in chapter 4. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, a stable, a strong mind, a secure mind. A sound, like a sound board that you can stand on. A sound mind. Now, Philippians chapter 4. Watch this. Verse 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Okay, ready? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are love, honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. This is Philippians 4, 8. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay? Now, one more verse, 2 Corinthians. We'll go back to that verse in Philippians in a second here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. And verse 3, we'll read a couple of verses. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Okay, you're in control. You're throwing them down. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. First of all, I want to say how to think. First, it must be fought as a war. The Bible talks about the war in your minds. Things which war in your minds is a phrase the Bible uses. We're not going to get that verse today. But it says here, casting down, throwing them down, those imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, anything that doesn't line up with the word of God and the knowledge of God, cast it down. And then it says, bring it into captivity. That's actually a military term. It's you capture something and bring it under control and you take it away and take it into captivity. Every thought is to be captured, is to be attacked and grabbed and brought and saying, you are coming here and staying here. Every thought. So with the mind, here's the problem. American Christians have been pulled into the entertainment mentality, and so they watch a whole bunch of things they shouldn't watch, they think a bunch of things they shouldn't think, and they say, I want to serve God, I want to love God with all my heart, but I just have such defeat, my mind's so bad, and I can't stop being bitter, I can't stop thinking these lustful thoughts. You're not fighting a war against the mind, you're just trying to resist. You're in a fight with a big, tough, you know, toughest guy in the world, and you're in the ring with him, and you're going, man, don't hit me. Don't leave me alone. Stop hitting me. Don't hit me. No. Swing back. Knock him out. You're in a war. You're dodging bullets in a war. Miss me again. Miss me again. Well, he's going to hit you at some point. Take him into captivity. Make him your prisoner. You must think as the mind is we're in war. Be so vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to destroy you. You're in a war for your mind. So you have to think, I'm in a war. I've got to cast this down. I have this bitterness, and I keep on thinking bad thoughts about this person. And you know what? They did this and this and this. And you dwell on it. You pretty soon, you know, you're beyond anger. Now you're bitter. And now your whole spectrum is bitter. And pretty soon, guess what happens? Bitterness. Bitterness, of course, corrupts you. And pretty soon, now you can't stand the people at work. Now you can't stand your spouse. Now you can't stand anybody. Now the whole world stinks. Well, it's because you went ahead and let that hang around. And one person lets you become bitter, and you dwelt, and you did that, cast that down, and it changed who you were. Let me say this. Any one of us can do this. And there are certain things that I watch people who do them, and people who do these certain things or dwell on these certain things, their minds get corrupted in one way or another, and their thinking's wrong. And I choose not to do that. I found myself in certain things in something that wasn't wrong, but it started making me think wrong. Okay? There are certain things I like, but I don't like what they do to me, to my mind. Okay, I don't know how many years ago, when the Sonics got taken away and taken Oklahoma, this is so stupid. It bothered me so bad. I love sports. I follow sports very closely. I love sports. And when that happened, the way it was done, and I kept hearing people in the radio talking about how they lied, they snuck this, and they took them out, and they did this, and we lost this, and the way the politicians, and I started finding myself getting very angry all the time. And I said, you know what? This is stupid. I don't like the NBA anyway. I wouldn't listen to it anymore because I did not like how angry it was making me. And by the way, everybody else talking about it was furious. I don't want to watch. The Bible says be not friends with an angry man. Okay? I love conspiracy theories. I think they're fun. I think there's black helicopters. I have a tin roof right above this pulpit so they can't listen to me. But I love conspiracy theories. I just don't like what happens with conspiracy theory people. They become anti-authority and bitter and angry. And live in northern Montana or northern Idaho and hide from the people coming after them. And so I don't get into conspiracy, but I like them. And I just don't do it. If I find myself getting too much into a game where I want to kill an official, killing officials is not a Christian thing. Okay? I didn't watch the second half of the Super Bowl when the Seahawks lost. Why? Because the officials wrote them off, and I'm still mad. No. But you know what? I found myself getting too angry about it. There's all kinds of things like that where you say, sometimes politics. I like politics. I follow politics. But sometimes I start getting so mad. Listen, I am Mr. Save Every Single Penny. I look and somebody tells me, yeah, in the military, it's September, and it's time to fill up our budget, so he's bought 36,000 axles for $100,000 a piece so we can make sure we have the money next year. I'm going, I won't do a dime. I won't waste a dime. What are you doing? And I get mad, and I say, you know what? And when I start saying, you know what? All these stinky people in Washington, D.C., they're all evil and rotten, and I can't. That's not the attitude I want to have. I don't like the attitude many Christians have towards President Obama. It's unbiblical. How much you prayed for him. I'm not saying I agree with his policies. I'm saying the attitude is hatred many times. I want him to get saved. I want him to get on public television in the White House with a seal behind him and say, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm born again. I want to tell everybody to get to heaven. There's nothing more. That's what I want to see. I want him to go to heaven someday. That's what I want. But when people go down this, their political party, their agenda, they start getting so angry. And is there anything wrong with it being on this political agenda? No, nothing wrong with it, except for if it corrupts your mind. So when I start getting too angry about things, I say, you know what? Time to get out of politics for a while. I don't need to follow this stuff. And I'm not a political activist. I don't get that much. But there's things you need to be careful. In other words, you say, I'm in a war. My mind can be corrupted in all kinds of ways. And I could be bitter and angry and messed up and weird and all kinds of things. So it must be fought as a war. So first of all, it must be fought as a war. Number B, this is all underneath, it's all about how you think. First, it must be fought as a war. Your mind must be focused and drawn in. Let me take it. This is a good verse. 1 Peter, this is the key verse here. The one you just read in this one are the really key verses. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I know somebody who's a sweet, wonderful person, compassionate, but they become Jekyll and Hyde when you talk about politics. My family knows what I'm talking about. And you're like, how's it going? Oh, it's great. Praise the Lord. Had a great day Sunday. 13 people saved. Yeah, that's true. Man, you see what Congress did? Oh, Congress! I can't believe that. They're doing it because I'm... Is it a full moon? What's happened to you? Why? They've dwelt and become bitter and angry and listened too much talk radio that they're evil. It's all a conspiracy. You get weird. So you see, by the way, I don't talk to them about that stuff because I don't like what they say. I don't like their spirit. So I just don't. I might even agree with them. But I don't dwell on it until I get that bitter. I haven't been bitter since I've been saved. I don't want to get bitter. I've seen people bitter. It ruins wonderful people. I don't ever want to become that. And I could do it easily. focused and drawn in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Got to land this plane here. 1 Peter 1, 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope unto the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Girding up was when a man would wear a robe and be down to here. And when you had to run, you would pull it up and bunch it up. And then you could run. You would pull in the loose ends. With your mind, you're supposed to gird up the loins. You do not let your mind just wander. If you start thinking the bad thoughts, you have a way to bring them back on track. There's a thousand ways to do that. You can do scripture. You can. A lot of times I sing songs. I find my mind going where I shouldn't be. And I'm like, you know, I heard an old story. Or I'll think on something good. I will, because my mind, I'm totally ADD. My mind can go all over the place. I will try to bring my mind some way into a good thought, into the what I should. And then lastly, so you got to gird up, be focused and drawn in. Don't let your mind just be pulled everywhere. And don't let your mind wander. You choose where it goes. Take your mind on a walk. Don't let it wander. Next, we must think in pure and positive ways. So now if we got to the hows now, what we need to do about it. And so, treated as a war. And then have your mind focused and drawn in. Of course, you got to choose what comes into it. But let me take you to Philippians 4. We read these verses. We'll go to them again. While you turn to Philippians 4, Colossians 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, or Christ sitteth in the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above. How about thinking about heaven? It doesn't matter what happened in this world. You got heaven. You got streets of gold. You get to see Jesus someday. You get to get rewards. You know, if you would meditate on heaven, this world wouldn't seem so hopeless. You're just passing through. This is your rental car. You got a Cadillac, brand new, sitting at home. Go do Dukes of Hazzard and jump. It's fine. Don't worry too much about your car. This body you're in this world you're in just temporary. Don't spend all your mind on it. Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay, so, I had a leak in my roof. We re-roofed my house. My roof's been leaking for years. And finally, we got it fixed, except for in next to the fireplace, there's a leak. And it's not from the roof. It's from the chimney. And I went up there, and it's concreted and bricked in. And I concreted it once. And I concreted it again. I concreted it a third time. Then I tarred it. And the thing still leaked. I should have put feathers on it. I would have fixed it. And I was sitting there, and my mind... I chew on problems, and my mind just, I fix everything 300 times before I fix it. My mind just chews on things. Not in a bad way, just I ponder problems a lot and how to fix things. I'm a problem solver. And I thought, you know, I might never get this stupid thing fixed, but it's not hitting any drywall. It's just dripping onto the rocks there, and no big deal. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty good roof where no water's going to come on us. I've been in a lot of bamboo houses overseas. They weren't so nice. No mold's going to come from there. You know what? I've got a pretty good nice house. And it's warm and it's sheltered. And you know, people on the frontier would have thought that my roof is the best roof they ever saw. Do you understand how I went like this? Why did my stupid roof leak? I just put a $3,500 roof on there. It was $11,000 roof. We had to do it. And it's still... You see how I could just go one of two ways? I could think on good things and gripe about my roof. By the way, I figured it out. Hallelujah. And I fixed it. Coming from the gutters. Got it fixed. But you know what? Or I could say, boy, I have a nice, safe house. My house is nicer than 90% of the world's houses. I've got running water, hot and cold, except for when the kids take 45-minute showers before I get in the bathtub, which is every day pretty much. And I've got warm water and all these things. I've got plumbing, indoor plumbing. In the Philippines, you went with me to the Philippines, we had some not-so-nice plumbing, didn't we? I've got, and do you see how you can go either way? Think on good things. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are good report. See, you're supposed to think, it's a half glass full or half empty. I've got a half a glass of water. I can survive a whole day on that. Not why, is that purified and sparkling water from that's been purified 3 times at Starbucks? No. Got water. It's okay to have water. You got to think, and not this, the world will corrupt you into this hopeless. The Bible's full of hope. You got to think on good things. If they persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely, how do you think? Rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Somebody says, that is not fair. I was doing not doing anything wrong. All this is doing is talking about Jesus. This is not fair. You fired me. You've beaten me. No, they rejoiced all night in prison and sang songs at midnight. And they thought, great is my reward in heaven. That's called your mind takes the thinking on the good things of it. He says, rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I can promise you, you have reasons today to gripe or reasons today to praise. Every one of us. Your car could probably make you gripe or praise. Your home, your apartment can make you gripe or praise. Your clothes can make you gripe or praise. Your clothes might seem junky to you. A king would give you a chest of gold for them. They never see anything like it 500 years ago. Wow, that zips up. What is a zipper? We have so many things. Your kitchen sink with the running water, no king had. And many people in the world don't have. Your clean water. We can all gripe or complain. You think on the good things. You must be pure and you must think on pure and positive ways. If everything's wrong with your life, you got heaven. And God says rejoice about it. Or you can gripe. But you know what? I just see these gripers. I hear them all the time. Every business you go to, you ever get the griper in front of you in line? You know what? This said $9.99 and it rings up as $10.02. I'm never coming back to this store again. I will give you the 3 cents. Why are you in front of me in line? I'm griping about them. And I can say, this person in front of me has delayed me. And you know what? It's teaching me patience. Or I could say, why me? Which is usually what I do. But I'm serious. We should be thinking, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. Think on those things. There's a lot of, it says how you think. Don't let your mind get corrupted into this negative, nasty, immoral, corrupted mind. The war's in your mind. You've got to guard it, and then you got to bring it in and say, I'm sober. I'm vigilant. I'm on guard with my mind. I'm not going to let the devil get this thing messed up. I got to think right. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. There's a lot of good things. I'm saved. Wow. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things. Have a sober mind. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, Lord, we got through all this. A lot of Bible here, Lord. A lot of things in here. Lord, I hate seeing people's minds get corrupted into evil things. I also hate seeing them get bitter. I hate seeing them go the wrong direction. I hate seeing them get hopeless. Lord, there's so many things the devil does to our minds that ruin us. I pray we would be people who are of a sober mind and vigilant and on guard, because the devil is trying to fill our minds and fill our way, make us think wrong. Help us to think the right way. Help us to be at war and on guard and watching what goes into the mind. Thank you for the word that teaches us these things. May we get it right and may we do well. Lord, it's easy for all of us. Lord, how many times I found myself getting too angry. I got to back off of this thing. I got to quit thinking about this. Lord, this happens a lot. Help us to have victory in our minds. Help us to follow your word and realize how important this is. If we pray in Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I think this is an important